Yeah, I'm ready, brother.
All right. Your first day, well, let's start this way. The combine for you, do you enjoy it when you're interviewing these coaches and players? Do you tolerate it? What's your view on it?
I love it. I just think it's a great opportunity to come down here to get to know these players. I think this is a kind of a melting pot, if you will, for coaches and general managers, and they're up the podium. And I think everyone's excited, guys, this time of the year, because despite whether you went 12-4 or 2-14, everyone feels they've got a chance. Everyone feels they've got a chance to improve in free agency, in the draft. And I think that that's, to me, is exciting because I've been a part of it. I've been a part of some teams that are starting over and rebuilding. I've been a part of some teams that are going through some coaching changes. You look at the Vikings last year with a new coach, a new quarterback. I think people are excited to see what's next. And I think we typically see a lot of improvement from year one to year two with the program, and especially with the development of a young quarterback.
Of all the people with whom you chatted yesterday, Wednesday, Rich, which one stuck out to you most?
In terms of
When you were doing radio.
We haven't really spoken with a lot of players yet because they're mostly rolling in today. So I just think the coaches and the general managers, I think that you talk to a Rustin Webster. You know, he's general manager of the Tennessee Titans. He's got a tough decision to make. Zach Mettenberger, a guy that was hurt in college, a guy that played a little bit last year and got hurt. And then they've got to decide, that second overall pick in the draft, they take another quarterback and start over. We just talked with Les Snead of the St. Louis Rams. They got Sam Bradford. Can he stay healthy? And not only that, this would be his fourth different coordinator in 5 years, when you think about all the changes they've had. But I think it's a pretty easy decision for the Rams. It's like Sam Bradford, or take one of these guys that's going to be the fourth or fifth quarterback off the board, or you look at free agency. It's not a great free agency class. You got to stick with Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford's got a $16.6 million cap number for this year.
Jeez.
That is a big commitment to a quarterback who hasn't stayed healthy and hasn't lived up to the promise.
Well, I think they've got to do something there. And I think, if you're Sam Bradford, you think, I could stay and play in St. Louis and be a starter. I'd go somewhere else and have to start over again. So
yeah.
Not only that, but I think his legacy, I think he wants to finish, what he started. And I think he feels he's got something to prove. And look, that's going to be a good football team. They've had all those, they stockpiled all those draft picks the last couple of years with the RG3 deal.
Yep.
They're very young and inexperienced at wide receiver and at running back. That group is getting better. They're maturing, even in the secondary, at the cornerback position, defensive line. I think Les Snead and Jeff Fisher are onto something. It's not an easy division. We know that.
No.
Think about last year, the last couple of years, Seattle, San Francisco, and Arizona. But they've got some work to do.
They do have a little bit of work to do, and they haven't had great receivers to put their quarterbacks to team up with their quarterbacks. That's probably hurt a little bit too. But if you're the Rams, don't you have to think about next year? Sam Bradford won't be under contract the year after next, and do you start laying some of the foundation for life after, potentially after now?
I think you make a huge mistake as a football team if you're not always looking to upgrade and improve the talent at that position. Even the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got. You got Teddy Bridgewater. That's great, but Teddy Bridgewater could get hurt next training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could happen. You better have depth and talent at that position. Look at the Arizona Cardinals. They played with four different quarterbacks last year and won 11 games, and that's not a good position to be in. But you the Packers always look hard in the draft. They got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
but you're always looking to develop that position. I think that's really important. I think that's where teams make a mistake, and I think. You're right. The Rams, even if Bradford's back, they have to be looking down the road for depth and talent.
See, my worry is the Vikings, they feel like they've got the guy in Teddy Bridgewater, and they've been looking for a quarterback for so long. I have a little bit of fear, Rich, that when the draft comes, they're going to finally feel like, for once, we don't have to be looking for a quarterback. And so then they won't be. And I like you, I feel like you should always be working, even if you've got a very good quarterback, you should be always working that. And if the worst thing that happens is you've got two or three good quarterbacks, well, it's a nice problem to have.
You can never have enough, and I think that you're looking at depth and talent at that position, and I think you're always evaluating. Even if you're not going to take one of these quarterbacks at Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, you got to evaluate them because you never know 3 or 4 years from now they may hit the free agent market or something may happen. They may have an injury. And say, well, do we even do the evaluation? Do we do our due diligence when we study these guys coming out? So I think you have to do it. Maybe not to the extent that the Vikings did last year with Teddy Bridgewater, going to work them out 3 or 4 different times and spending all that time with them. But I will say this. I really think they've got it right. I mean, I think you look at what Johnny Manziel did. That, what a disaster that is in Cleveland right now. And, of course, when you really study Johnny Manziel in college – there was only a handful of times where he dropped back in rhythm and let go of the football. A lot of the big plays, the big throws were off the scramble, and they run around, throw
That's
the
right.
ball down to Mike Evans. Mike Evans jump up between 3 points. You can't do that in the NFL.
No.
If you can't function from the pocket in this league, Colin Kaepernick has his issues. RG3 has
yes.
his issues. If you can't function in the pocket, you're going to have a problem. And I think what was encouraging last year about Teddy Bridgewater, he completed 65% of his passes. But you watch him, he can function in the pocket. And I think he's only going to get better in North Turner's offense.
Former Viking and MVP quarterback with the Oakland Raiders, Rich Gannon, joins us from Indianapolis. I haven't asked you this. What did you think of the way the Super Bowl ended with the Malcolm Brown interception and just everything that ensued after that?
Really bizarre. I mean, I think that, you know, you think back to having the ball second one and with a timeout in your pocket and, you know, having that great running back of Marshawn Lynch, despite, you know, the Patriots going with their big guys in there and their goal line defense, you think to yourself, in hindsight, 2020, you should run the football there, right? But if they throw the ball and they complete the pass for a touchdown, you know, no one's really talking about it. But it didn't happen that way. And you really can't fault the quarterback. I mean, in that situation, you say, it's there, pull the trigger. If it's not, throw the ball away, it's second down. But to him, it looked like it was going to be there. The kid mm-hmm. makes an incredible play. We're talking about a guy, talking about the importance of the combine.
Yeah.
Kid wasn't even invited to the combine last year. He's from West Alabama. They didn't even have a pro day at West Alabama. He had to go to the University of Alabama for his pro day. And then, of course, he makes the play of his life as a rookie undrafted free agent. So it just goes to show you. I think that, you know, we talk about this combine. You know, it's not just the guys that are going to go day one. I think you look at Seattle's roster and where Schneider has really done a good job. Look mm-hmm. at all those fifth and sixth round picks that are on that roster. The whole secondary seems like it's
That's
made
right.
up. You know, so to me, I think the good football teams, I think Rick Spielman does a good job of this. I think you've got to be able to really have some hits on day two and day three of the draft.
From 7-9, with or without Adrian Peterson, make the Vikings better. Zimmer and Norv Turner in their second year, Anthony Barr in his second year, Bridgewater second year. Make the team better next year.
Well, they got to get better up front. The injuries, and they're very inconsistent. The left tackle has me concerned a little bit. I mean, the drop-off in production from year one is a concern. And you know, he's a hard guy to figure out. They've got to be able to run the football better. And of course, getting 28 back would solve a lot of those ills. But, you know, having some production there, it's going to help the play action game. It's going to help them on third down. It's going to do a lot of things. So to me, those are two areas where they've got to get better. And Patterson. I mean, I for the life of me, I can't figure out what's going on with this guy. You know, he's got it. This is an important offseason for him
it
to
is.
Really learn this system, to really to develop his skill set, to be a better route runner, to understand the offense better, understand where he fits in the grand scheme of things. So those are areas offensively. I think defensively, the continued development of their front, more depth and talent in the secondary. But I think they're well on their way. I think Zim does a terrific job with that group. George Edwards, I think they're going to be in good shape defensively.
Rich, what do you think makes Mike, head coach Zimmer, so good at what he does? I mean, what we saw last year from Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, Linval Joseph, Tom Johnson, a rotational defensive tackle.
How about Sharif Floyd?
Sharif Floyd when he was healthy. Everson Griffin, despite second-guessing with the deal he got. What makes Mike so good at what he does?
I think his honesty with players. I think players want to be told the truth, and I think Mike has no problem telling players what he thinks of them and what he expects from them. And I think the players will respond to that, and I think players will enjoy playing for Mike because I know, he cares about them. He wants to see them do well. I think he puts them in a position to be successful each and every week. But I think he's very honest with them. And I think players want feedback. I think all good players want is to be coached and to get feedback. And too often in my career, I wasn't given the feedback. No one was really honest with me and said, hey, you know, here's where you can get better. Here's three or four things you need to do in the offseason. Or, you know what, quite frankly, I don't think you play well in weather games or whatever it is. I didn't always get that feedback. And I think that's the thing that the players want. And I think that they get that from Mike. Mike's not going to sugarcoat it. He's going to tell you just what he thinks about you. And either you're going to respond and you're going to get better, they're going to move on from you, and I think that the players would appreciate that type of honesty.
When we talk to players going all the way back to training camp, the word that they kept using over and over again about Zimmer was accountability. They kept saying that the key difference here is accountability, and I think that goes back to what you're saying about the honesty. And it sounds like there were Zimmer was not going to have a lot of tolerance for people that didn't necessarily want to function within the, you know, the framework that he had.
Well, you know, he mentioned this to me a number of times during the season. He said, "I really like the way these guys work," and that's a good thing. I mean, this is a group of players that love coming to work and practicing and getting better each day and being challenged. That's a good thing. I think that the thing that Mike brought last year, he brought some toughness, he brought some accountability. I think that, you know, those are things that are important for a football team. And not only that, but I think, you know, Mike, you know, if you look at how Mike coaches, you look at how he's called games as a defensive coordinator, I think you look at North Turner, a smart football team. There's something to be said for that. You know, players that make the right decisions, players that know where to be, players that know how to handle adversity, players that know what to do in a critical situation. And I think you're starting to see more and more of that. And I'm excited about the future. Obviously, you know, I was a vagabond. I bounced around the league. I played 17 years. Yeah. I played 6 years in Minnesota. Mm. I still bleed purple. I still got that, you know, I still struggle with those folks out west out there in Oakland. But, you know, I'm encouraged.
Wait. What do you mean you struggle with the guy with
– No, I still bleed silver and black, but I'm just saying it's been hard because they haven't had a winning season I left there in 2002. So, you know, I just think this business right now, in my opinion, is dysfunctional. Like, if you look at some of the things that are happening, it's crazy. Like, I mean, we hire coaches, and you say, well, who is this guy? Where's his experience? Well, he hires a coordinator. Who's this guy? You know, I'll give you a great example. And the Cleveland Browns just hired a quarterback coach, Kevin O'Connell, who never has coached in the NFL or in college or in high school.
What?
And he's going to coach Johnny Manziel.
Mm. Oh,
now, he has never been a coach. And he was in the league 5 years. I think he played for like five different teams.
Yeah.
He never started a game.
San Diego State guy, right?
Yeah. He never started a game. He threw six passes in 5 years, okay, for 23 yards.
How did you get that job?
And now he's going to coach. Now, I'm not being critical of him. And but I'm just saying, how could you? And not only that, you bring him in to coach Johnny Manziel.
No kidding.
Have two guys who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So to me, and you got a new owner. And Jimmy has them a couple years ago. And they fire the front office, and they fire the coach after 1 year. There's some crazy things happening in our business.
Yeah.
And what I do know is this. You've got Spielman in place. I think he's a good general manager. I think you go out and get a good guy, a good coach in Mike Zimmer. And he brings in some veteran assistants.
Yeah.
A guy like Norv Turner. I think that makes you feel better about the Minnesota
Vikings.
Don't
you think there are a lot of head coaches that are nervous about putting other qualified coaches around them, guys that have a track record in history, because they want to run everything and they don't want anybody that's going to, you know.
It's a huge mistake because you can't do it all. And I think the coaches that try and micromanage every area of the building, they really struggle. I mean, Brad Childress was one of those guys.
He was one of those guys.
You know, and I like Brad. But Brad came in, he didn't trust anybody. He wanted to do everything. He wanted to have and what happens is you only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
Can't do it all. Look what Mike McCarthy just did down in Green Bay. I mean, Mike McCarthy, he just gave up the play calling responsibilities.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't a 7-9 team. They were 12-4, and they had the league's MVP at the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
And he's stepping away. Because why? He feels like, you know, they're neglecting the defense a little bit, the kicking game. And, you know, so to me, you have to continue to be able to evolve in this business. And I think the good teams do that. And the teams that are drafting early every year, they haven't quite figured it out.
Last one. Speaking of fired coaches, your dear friend Mark Trestman.
Yeah.
Why was he not given another chance in Chicago?
Quite frankly, as much as I like Mark, I don't think he deserved another chance. I mean, you look at what they did in year one. You thought they'd get better in year two. They took major steps back in a number of areas. He should have fired Mel Tucker after the first year. The defense was awful. Never got that fixed. And the reason he was hired, as you guys know, was to fix the quarterback. And he didn't do that. In fact, the quarterback took a step back this year. Saw something this morning at John Fox. I was at breakfast this morning, and John Fox was at the table next to me with Josh McCown. Now, what does that tell you about how he feels about Jay Cutler? You know what I mean? It's crazy. So all I'm saying is that I think Mark's in a good spot. He's with John Harbaugh in Baltimore. Just visited with John Harbaugh a little bit ago. He's coaching Joe Flacco. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's a Delaware guy, PA. I mean, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Ocean City, let's go.
Yeah, but you know, I like Mark. I think sometimes guys are better coordinators than they are head coaches. I think Mark is one of those guys.
And I think Joe Flacco will be better for it too.
I think they're similar. They have a similar mentality. You know what I mean? Joe's not a volatile, emotional guy. Neither is Mark. Very cerebral. I think that's going to be a good pairing in Baltimore.
Agreed. Thanks, Rich.
All right, guys. You're
great
the best. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.